Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk about the Spotsylvania County Museum this morning. Terry Daugherty is in with us. Terry, it is great to have you in this morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. We're going to get caught up on everything that's going on with the Spotsylvania County Museum. One of the things that occurs to me is, especially with spring break or with weekends and all, if as a family or if people coming in, it's a great place to go to acquaint them to the history of where they're staying.
Oh, absolutely. The museum's open 7 days a week from 9 to 5, and you can go in and get a real good basis of how Spotsylvania County came to be and a lot of information on local individuals.
We're going to get into a lot of information about what's there, but just so people know, talk about where the museum is located, Terry.
The museum's located out at Spotsylvania County Courthouse, and it's located in the Merchant Square Village. And people can certainly, driving down the Parkway 208, can certainly see the village now as our economy's improved, so has the number of buildings in the village, and they're just going gangbusters out there.
Yeah, but that area really has changed. So we're gonna get into where and what you'll see as we go along this morning. But in this first segment, I thought we would talk about an event that you've got coming up in a couple weeks. Evening with the General is what this is called.
Right. What happened was back if you'll remember when we did the 150th. Anniversary programs for the Civil War and the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse and the Battle of Chancellorsville. One of the things that we instigated, we had dinners called Evening with the Generals. And, of course, we had General Robert E. Lee and General Joseph Hooker and Ulysses S. Grant. And it was a great opportunity for the community to come out, learn about these interesting individuals, needless to say, and just get together and have a really good meal and talk about Spotsylvania County and Spotsylvania County history. So what we did was, after a little bit of a hiatus there, we decided we'd bring those programs back. And so over the next 3 years, we're going to be doing a series of Evening with the Generals dinners. And we kick it off this time with a little bit of an earlier part of our history, and that's General George Washington. What a lot of people don't realize is George Washington, of course, needless to say, was the father of our country and commander of the Continental Army. But he was also, prior to that, he was a surveyor, he was a merchant, and he and his family had business dealings in Spotsylvania County. His elder half-brother, Lawrence, owned quite a tract of land in Spotsylvania County that was cut off from one of the early land patents. And strangely enough, that tract of land was right in the vicinity of Spotsylvania County Courthouse, along what was then known as the Lewis River, but today we call it the Nye River. And basically, he owned both sides of the Nye River from the area around Thornburg all the way up until you get basically out at Catharpin Road, not Catharpin, by the way.
So how's that pronounced again?
It's pronounced Catharpin. If you go back and look at the early maps of Spotsylvania, you'll notice that the word is spelled Catharpin. The Harpin part is spelled H-A-R-P-I-N. We can only assume that was probably from some of the wildlife roaming through the areas in those days.
Interesting. So, because when you said that, I thought, why did he, Terry should know that's Catharpin, but that's interesting. We've already learned something new this morning.
Yes. Well, it shows up as late as 1820 on our 1820 map as Catharpin Road.
Catharpin Road.
Not Catharpin.
Wow, that gives you a whole, and I never even thought of the cat part of it, and that gives it a whole different meaning.
We've got all kinds of interesting information.
Yes,
about
you
the
do.
County
this now. It's been too long since you've been here. So this is Evening with the General is going to be April 21st. And you answered my question because my first thought was, I'm sure that when George Washington was growing up here and was around here, he was in Spotsylvania, but he did have some family connections to Spotsylvania County.
Absolutely. Lawrence, of course, was his elder half-brother, and he was also a merchant. And probably today we would call him a little bit of a real estate developer, as he owned tracts of land in different portions of Virginia, especially down on the Northern Neck. But he also expanded his empire up into Spotsylvania County. And so he owned that land in the 1740s up through about the time of the American Revolution.
So describe what this evening is like. Is this will General Washington talk and that kind of thing?
He is going to talk. He's going to engage both in military and political discourse. I think everybody will find that very, very interesting. Not only does he have Washington is a merchant, of course, as a surveyor, but from his military standpoint, his strategic planning took Spotsylvania County into consideration towards the end of the American Revolution. And so being familiar with the county, of course, one of the things that Washington did was he had the Marquis de Lafayette, who's very well known to Fredericksburg, you know. But what a lot of people don't realize is the Marquis had a small collection of French Continentals and American militia troops, of which Spotsylvania County was a part of that. And one of the goals was during the campaign of 1780 was to lure Lord Cornwallis in as far into the interior of Virginia as he could. And so basically Washington instructed Lafayette to not to directly engage Cornwallis. He wasn't strong enough to do that, but to lure him and basically sustain the campaign in an effort really to wear him out. And so Cornwallis spent several months chasing Lafayette all over central Virginia. And finally, when Lafayette reached Spotsylvania County, what he did was he entered into the area around, today we call it Ely's Ford Road. Back in those days, it was actually Ely. The family name was Ellery, one of the original landowners from the late 1600s in that area, and attempted to lure him across the Rapidan River. And Cornwallis grew tired of the game. He did send Banastre Tarlington to Charlottesville, where he, confiscated supplies and burned barns, Banastre not being the nicest individual in the world, and grew tired of the game and started back down into central Virginia, down around Richmond. And basically at that point, George Washington marched from New York, joined Lafayette, and Cornwallis went to Yorktown. And when he did, when Lafayette crossed back over like I said today, Ely's Ford, the family Henry Ely, actually joined Lafayette's army and went with him to Yorktown along with the Spotsylvania County Militia, and they were there for the surrender in 1781.
Interesting. So, we're learning all kinds of stuff this morning.
So
to get tickets for this event, Evening with the General is April 21st. Where is it going to be, and how do I get tickets?
Well, it's going to be at historic Snow Hill Farm, and that is one of Spotsylvania's most beautiful farms and a well-kept secret. We have a lot of historic homes in the area, Snow Hill being one of them. Snow Hill is located as we call it, on the road to Snail, on the old Business 208. And the tickets are available online. You can buy it through the Spotsylvania Historical Association, who's the one actually putting this event on Sarah Dye, has organized this. Unfortunately, she could not be here this morning. It's spring break and children and business and everything else going on.
Yep.
So you can get it through the Spotsylvania Historical Association, and that's www.spotsylvaniahistory.org. At the event itself, we've got a wonderful food selection. We will have refreshments provided by Lake Anna Winery. And then we're also going to have a silent auction with a lot of interesting material. We know that people are familiar with beautiful Stevenson's Ridge in Spotsylvania. They have donated a weekend package for the event,
okay,
for the silent auction. The YMCA has also donated some membership information and considerations for the event. We're going to be auctioning off historic maps and everything else. It's going to start. It's an outside affair. We're taking quite a leap of faith here in for a beautiful April evening under the stars. And of course, the Historical Association, their mission is to promote Spotsylvania history. And they're doing that through working with the Spotsylvania County Schools and other organizations to make that possible. Like I said, you can get the tickets online. It's only $40. And I think for the considerations of what we're going to have, you won't get a better deal.
No,
a beautiful weekend
to see Snow Hill. Now, Snow Hill, if I'm thinking of the correct place, it's just Marshall Park is there, and you keep going. It's just down past Marshall Park.
It's just down past Marshall Park, and it is steeped in history.
Yeah,
and of course, originally it was the home of Benjamin Alsop. The Alsop family are like bunnies in Spotsylvania in the 1700s and 1800s. And after Benjamin passed away in 1832, the property passed over into the Crutchfield family. Hmm. And, of course, the Crutchfields operated an extensive farm. I don't really call them plantations. I think that's a misnomer, but they're really large farms. And one of the interesting things is the Crutchfields, there's two principal Crutchfields involved. One of them is Oscar Crutchfield, and he lived at Spring Forest, which was actually down on the Caroline County line. He is one of only two people from Spotsylvania County to ever serve as Speaker of the House of Burgess, for the Virginia Assembly.
Yeah.
The other one being Robert Stannard's Mill down there at Thornburg. And his brother, Stapleton Crutchfield, of course, acquired Snow Hill. He had one of only two licensed distilleries in Spotsylvania at the time. And the other interesting thing about it is that Oscar had a son, and the son's name was Stapleton Crutchfield. And so Stapleton Crutchfield at Snow Hill was the uncle of Stapleton Crutchfield, who attended VMI, of course, was a graduate of VMI. Later on, through his loyalty to the Confederacy and served as Stonewall Jackson's chief of artillery for a while, was wounded at the Battle of Chancellorsville, and he rode in the ambulance with Stonewall Jackson on his way to Guinea Station. Mm. And when they reached the famous well at Spotsylvania County, Stapleton and members of the family came and got Stapleton and removed him from the ambulance and took him to Snow Hill to recover from his wounds. And of course, he had a leg amputated as a result of those wounds. Mm. He would return to the Army in 1864, and he perished at Five Forks in 1865. His body was never recovered from the battlefield.
Evening with the General is April 21st. It's at Snow Hill in Spotsylvania. SpotsylvaniaHistory.org is the website where you can get ticket information and get tickets that way. We'll give you that information and talk again about Evening with the General. And this year it is George Washington on April 21st. Terry Doherty here from the Spotsylvania County Museum. More coming up this morning. We'll get in and start talking about the museum and what you can see there when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Terry Doherty here from the Spotsylvania County Museum. That's what we're talking about this morning. Again, we'll give you some more details before we get out of here this morning on Evening with the General, April 21st at Snow Hill in Spotsylvania. Sounds like a terrific evening. A terrific Spotsylvania County Museum, Terry. If you have, if for someone who has not been there, first time I met you even before it had opened, and when I walked through there, you have the museum itself just has some really interesting artifacts in there, and it really deals with Spotsylvania County.
Well, that's what we tried to do with it. One of the things, having been in the museum business a very long time,
you're too young to have been in it a long time.
A very long time, but. What I always found interesting about history was not so much, the facts and the figures and, this and that, but the people themselves. Mm-hmm. And so what we tried to do with the museum is tell the story of Spotsylvania and to a certain extent tell it through its citizens over a period of time. And the museum's about 1,800 square feet. It has a big focus. There's a gallery called 17 Days in May, which focuses on the War of the Rebellion, as I call it, the official U.S. government term, and what happened at Spotsylvania Courthouse. But what we've done is we've sort of expanded out into the hallways, and so you'll go out in the hallways and you'll get the story of Chancellorsville, and it's told from the participants' perspective. Our artifacts, our collection right now today is around 5,000 artifacts. Now, needless to say, we've only got about 3% of those that are actually on exhibit.
Sure.
We have the seal that was taken from the courthouse by Union soldiers and on the first visit to Spotsylvania in 1862. And then we have in the museum itself, we have artifacts on the Bloody Angle. I know two of my favorite pieces are the musket barrels that were recovered because one of them still has two rounds in it.
Really?
And the other one has one round in the end of the barrel that's exploded. And what we did was when we were first setting the museum up, working with the Spotsylvania County Regional Medical Center, we took the barrels over to them and they CAT scanned them for us. And so, a little bit of modern technology to study a piece of history. And that's when we discovered that. And it was just fascinating along those lines. And the museum tells a pretty good story. It starts early. It talks about early exploration. It talks about Alexander Spotswood, of course, who the county's named after. The more that we learn about him, the more we realize he was a brilliant individual. Hmm. I know many of the listeners have been to Colonial Williamsburg and seen the Powder Magazine. He had that designed. Of course, he was never destined to be the governor of Virginia. But the gentleman who was destined was captured by Blackbeard the Pirate and never made it here. And so one of the things that Spotswood made it a goal of his administration was to find Blackbeard and bring him to justice, which he did. And, of course, the other part, of course, is the land patents. And so we delve into all of that. We talk about the fact that for many years tobacco was king. We talk about Spotsylvania's early iron industry. We had the first major iron industry on the East Coast. Robert Byrd, of course, wrote in his diaries in the 1720s that by 1726, Spotsylvania was producing enough iron products, to completely equip the 13 American colonies. And we're not talking, we're not talking locomotives and things like that. We're talking pots and pans and kettles and spoons, all those things you needed, of course, for a society to develop out of the wilderness. And so we had the furnaces here, a tremendous part of Spotsylvania's history. So we go into all of those stories. And so we've made a lot of progress on that. The collection, of course, you can view the collection at our website, www.spotsylvaniamuseum.org. We have lots of articles on the history of the county. But more importantly, you can go in there and we have about 85% of our collection is now photographed. And so if you want to look up something for the Waller family, you just type Waller in and it will bring up everything we have, photographs, documents, everything along those lines. And so, you know, we're really pleased with the progress we've made over the last 3 years.
Boy, and Terry, to be able to do that has got to ease a little bit of the frustration of not being able to show more, but be able right. to offer it in that way. At least you're able to show some of the things you have.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you find when you start in, and it's a very eclectic collection, okay? We've got everything from Egyptian mummy hair, you know, to the shovel that they used to break ground at the new Old Dominion racetrack. And so it's a collection that's steeped in history, but we're always constantly looking towards the future because we make history every day.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. But when I think about some of the favorite objects that I have in the collection.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Bricks. Now, you would think, well, you know, what's a brick? You know, we see them every day. You know, they're the sides of houses and everything else. But we have some really neat bricks. And what has happened over the years, you know, people would go out and they would visit some of the house sites that have now disappeared. And they would collect some of the bricks, you know, from either the chimney or you know, from the house site construction itself. And so about 2 years ago, I had a couple come in from Pennsylvania. And they were coming down to look for one of their relatives who had perished at the Battle of Chancellorsville. And they called us up on the phone and say, our next-door neighbor used to live in Spotsylvania County when she was a little girl, and she has something for you. And I said, really? And I said, what is it? She said, we have brick. It's a brick. And I said, I'll bring it by. And so they brought the brick by. Now, it's not a plain brick, okay? It is a beautiful brick. In the early days of the colonies, the king regulated all the public building construction in Virginia. And so bricks were cast to a standard, okay? And they're actually larger than a normal brick that we would see today. And so they're known as king-type bricks. And there's different types. There's type 1 and type 2 and type 3. Well, this turned out to be a type 1. And imprinted into the brick is the date 1772. And not only is it imprinted, but it came from the poorhouse on Northeast Creek in northern Spotsylvania County. And, of course, if you're familiar with early colonial government, each county was required to establish a house for the poor so that if some misfortune befell the family, you've sure. heard the term.
Yeah, poorhouse. In the poorhouse, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's where that came from. And so that was one of the pieces that was brought into us. And we have bricks with turkey paws in them and bricks with initials in them and bricks with designs in them, all from different sites around Spotsylvania County.
Interesting. SpotsylvaniaMuseum.org is the website. There's also a Facebook page. Terry Daugherty with the Spotsylvania County Museum here this morning. We need to take a quick break. More coming up. We're going to continue to talk about what you can see at the museum and some of the plans for the future. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's 8:32.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Terry Daugherty here this morning from the Spotsylvania County Museum. SpotsylvaniaMuseum.org is the website. Great Facebook page, gives you all kinds of information. I was telling you off air, Terry, I have learned a lot about, I've walk around and I'll take the dog over to Loriella a lot, Loriella Park. Knew nothing about it for 25 years. And then up recently, some history panels popped up. And I was shocked to learn all the what happened on that piece of land.
Well, one of the things, of course, like I said, the museum's small. And what we've been trying to do is go where we need to go to tell the county's history. And one of those was Loriella Park. And a lot of people don't even know how Loriella Park got its name.
No.
Amongst other things. But what we did, we went back and working with the Department of Parks and Recreation, Kevin Brooks does a wonderful job with that department. We talked to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, we want to put up some historical markers in the park. He said, go for it. We think that'd be great. And so we went back and we did research on a gentleman by the name of Cosmo Gordon. And I love the name Cosmo.
Oh,
I
mean,
now we're talking in an 1830, birth here.
Yeah.
And the name. And Cosmo was a rather interesting individual because he was the son of William Gordon of Fredericksburg, who was a banker,
mm-hmm.
and also was at one point owner of Kenmore. And so in the 1850s, probably with his father's money, he acquired a tract of land out there off of Levels Road from the Levels family, who owned Levels Mill. And he built a rather plain two-story wooden frame house. And what we discovered was... you know, he was coming along. He started a family. And I believe deep down inside he was probably a pacifist because when the war came along, he didn't seem to really want to take part in it on the side of the Confederacy. But, you know, he did his duty.
Yeah.
He served the state of Virginia. And, of course, the first thing he did was after being gone, and this was not unusual with the babies at home, was he deserted. And he was brought back to the Army under arrest. And then at Falling Waters on the retreat from Gettysburg, he was captured and sent to Point Lookout Prison in Maryland. And we have, his name's on the prisoner roll where the family sent him packages. And, of course, the Gordon family was very well off, even with the war going on, and they could still do that. And so he eventually was exchanged and came back and resumed his life as a farmer. And when we were looking at the collection, and it's all been cataloged, you can see it on the website, we discovered that he's a very kind-hearted man, but he also liked to read the Quran. And in his book collection are early copies of the Quran that date from the early 1800s. And so we went out, we marked the family cemetery. We decided we'd tell the story of the house, how it was constructed. And we would tell the story of Cosmo and Adelaide Gordon, who are buried out there. And she never turned anyone away from a meal at the kitchen. And so, you know, they were the kind of people they were. And so along with that, what we've done is we've gone into the public safety building and we put our famous panels, as I call them, up that tells the history of the sheriffs of Spotsylvania County and, a little bit about our jails. And we've gone into the county courthouse and told the history of the court system in Virginia. As well as we have all our clerks of court, their history up out in the clerk of court's office out there. And then this spring, over the next couple of weeks, we started a project to mark our historic sites in the courthouse area. The Spotsylvania Courthouse was set aside as a National Historic District in the early 1980s. And so now we're going to tell the story, you know, working with the local individuals, Christ Episcopal Church being one of them, wonderful people, to tell the history of all those buildings out there. And our famous well, the well that stood on the corner there at the intersection of Brock Road and Courthouse Road. I probably have more photographs of that whale than I have any other building in Spotsylvania County.
Really?
Absolutely. It will astound you. And so we're, to let the listeners know, we're constantly looking for photographs of Spotsylvania County.
I was going to ask you, are there things that, and I wonder, do people bring you things, you know, just show up?
Oh, yes. Just a couple of weeks ago, we received in the mail from the granddaughter of one of our early sheriffs, Carl Carner. He was sheriff in Spotsylvania from 1916 to 1931. And up in the mail shows up family photographs, which, you know, are always welcome. And then the other part of that is his 1916 sheriff's badge that was made in New York City. It's silver.
Yeah.
Showed up in the mail as well. And you can see a photograph of that on the website.
I was going to ask you, is that the one I've seen? I saw that and thought,
right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep. And so that's what we're working on. We've been working, of course, with the Historical Association. We just put a series of historic panels out on Ely Ford Road. And we have more planned for the area over the next 2 years. I told somebody if I could get away with paneling it, I'd panel every square inch of the county. But, you know, well, budget-wise, we do what we can do.
There's a lot out there. I was saying to you about Laurella. I did not know the history of that. And there is so much. Your Facebook page is you really some interesting things. I mean, when you had a few months back the story, I mean, a lot of people know and have heard of Francis Asbury, mm-hmm. and the fact is that he died in Spotsylvania. I had no idea.
Yes, and
it's just those kind of information. That kind of stuff is out there,
right? And what we try to do, you know, we try to tell a well-rounded story. You know, we talk about Malcolm Crawford, the man who built our courthouse. The family came in from Texas it's actually been about 18 months, almost 2 years now, and brought us a photograph of him, which we just thought was fascinating. Hmm. When you look at the religious side of the history of Spotsylvania, originally, you know, being part of the Church of England and divided into parishes, and then why so many people came to America, of course, was to escape religious persecution. And so he was the leading founder of the Presbyterian Church in America. And so he traveled and preached from his buggy. And unfortunately, you know, passed through this area several times, but the last time he'd been standing in the open buggy and in the elements and caught the chills and, of course, you know, was in a more advanced age and passed away.
Any artifacts out there, or is there anything or a picture or something that you would just you would just love to have?
Once again, we are always looking at photographs from the early time frame. We're always looking for photographs of the Alsop family, especially Samuel Alsop Jr., who built so many buildings both in Spotsylvania and the city of Fredericksburg. He was a master builder. I know somewhere out there's a photograph of him. And for many years, he was
so you don't have one?
No. For many years, he was one of the richest men in Spotsylvania County. One of the things here in a couple of weeks when people come out and visit with us, if they'll stop at Berea Church, that's the Alsop family burying ground. And so we've been able to identify everyone that's buried in that cemetery. And, of course, Samuel Alsop's there. The Chandler family of Guinea Station fame mm-hmm. is buried there. Where Stonewall Jackson died, and the Anderson family, who owned Coventry, very, very large historic farm in Spotsylvania off Smith Station Road. So that entire history is there in that cemetery.
Well, and what's interesting, when you were talking about just some of the different roads and just the family history. Some of these roads that we talk about, or you know, we just take for granted. I mean, they're steeped in Spotsylvania history that goes way back.
Oh, absolutely. Mine Road, a lot of people, thousands of people drive the road every day.
Yeah.
Mine Road.
Yep.
And a lot of them, and there's no better example of a rolling road, an original rolling road, than the section of Mine Road until VDOT probably carves it up one day, where you turn off of 208 and cut over to Route 1, past where the old Pizza Hut used to be.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when you look at the sweep of that road and the curve, that's a rolling road. And when tobacco was king in Virginia, they developed these roads so they could move the hogsheads of tobacco to the wharfs at Massaponics, which was a major embarkation point for the local farmers in this area in the 1700s. And you have Thornton Rolling Road, which is down on the backside. Brock Road,
yeah,
is another example of a rolling road in Spotsylvania, the sweep of the curves. So there was always a purpose behind everything they did.
Fascinating stuff.
It still
stuff.
Affects us today.
Yeah, yeah. Terry Daugherty here from Spotsylvania County Museum. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to talk again about Evening with the General, and we will conclude this morning. And there's so much more to talk about, Terry. We'll have to get you in again to continue this, because there is just a lot of history and a lot of things to talk about with Spotsylvania. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Terry Daugherty here with the Spotsylvania County Museum. The website is spotsylvaniamuseum.org. You want to check that out? Check out the museum. Just some great stuff. Before we talk, we'll wrap it up with talking about Evening with the General. But as we look ahead, Terry, you got a lot of stuff, and it'd be nice to have a bigger place to be able to view it, I know.
Well, we would love to have that. Needless to say, we've got a tremendous story to tell. And what we've done with the museum is we've tried to make it a professional organization. And so that we would, when the day comes, and hopefully it will come, and we'll get that larger facility, and maybe it'll also be a place for Spotsylvanians to gather, in a campus type atmosphere, we'll be in a position where if there's things we don't have, our professional accreditation status will allow us to go out and borrow these items on loan. And so, like I said, we're constantly working on it. We have about, in our computer systems, and we try to scan everything we can lay our hands on, we've got about 4 trigabytes of data. And that's maps and deeds and photographs and family histories and information on houses in Spotsylvania. So we think we're a resource. And so now what we've discovered over the last couple of years is as the county continues to develop, planning and zoning comes to us and asks us questions about property that's being developed. Maybe we'll come back and talk about Gaspar Tuchman one day. And all those things. But yeah, we need a larger facility. And a lot of us believe it would be a gold mine in terms of tourism for Spotsylvania.
I was just going to say.
To be able to have that one day.
Doesn't take a genius to figure out that this, a lot of people would want to come and see this. And, right. And you hear about tourism ideas, and this would be a magnet for that.
Right. And that's part of the work that the Spotsylvania Historical Association is doing to help us, the proceeds from this dinner will go towards helping us acquire artifacts, do some conservation work. But more importantly, it puts the name out there and to let people know that we have programs. We're always available to do off-site programs. If you can't come to us, we will come to you. And so, like I said, that dinner on Saturday, April the 21st, the proceeds will come to the museum. It wouldn't be possible if we didn't have our sponsors, people like the W.J. Vacos Company, the Pruitt Companies, Martin's Potato Breads, potato rolls. They are sponsoring this event.
Okay.
American Heritage Homes, the Pruitt Companies, Uber. All have joined up to help sponsor this event for Spotsylvania. And the people who are providing things for the silent auction, the YMCA, Stevenson's Ridge, the museum, we're going to provide a series of maps. And, the food's going to be fantastic. Famous Virginia brisket. and glazed chicken, and Lake Anna will be there. And what we're asking people to do is get your tickets online at www.spotsylvaniahistory.org. Join the association so that you'll know what's going on in mm-hmm. Spotsylvania when it comes to its history. And just come out and be a part of it. And I don't think I can guarantee you that you will not be disappointed.
No, you learn it at all of these because I've seen things. I've been at events that the James Monroe Museum has done with James Monroe, and over at Ferry Farm with George Washington. These kind of living history kind of things, you learn a lot because the people who portray it's more than just a dress up kind of time. I mean, they know their stuff.
Right. And like I said, it's going to be a wonderful evening. You get an opportunity to explore historic Snow Hill Farm.
Yeah, that's a great place to go.
Great place. And we just want people to come have fun and come talk history with us.
Well, boy, there sure is enough history in Spotsylvania. And Terry, you've done a great job in just really a short time of, you know, we talk about the panels that are starting to pop up. And because a lot of these corners that we had no, you know, to us, it's just where we turn every day to go home or go to work, and all of a sudden you find out that something major happened at that intersection, and right. and you've done a great job at kind of picking out some of the major things in letting us know.
Well, we're not done, and like I said, we got big plans over the next couple of years to continue the panel program, and you know, for some of the neighborhoods, if you want to contribute and help provide a panel, we'll work with you on it. And we're full service. We have access to Ancestry, Fold 3 for military records, and like I said, a growing database on the history of Spotsylvania County.
Well, Terry, thank you. We got to do this some more because I've got many more things. I mean, I've already found out. I can't wait to start telling people that I'm going to go down Cat Harpin Road and have them correct me and say, no, there's a story there.
There's a story there.
So thank you so much. Again, it is SpotsylvaniaMuseum.org is the website for the museum. Uh-huh. Check out the Facebook page and Evening with the General. April 21st at Snow Hill, SpotsylvaniaHistory.org for tickets.
Absolutely.
Terry, thank you so much. Thanks for what you do for this area, for this community.
Thank you very much.
That is it. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.